Our true home is your house of Father. We are conscious entities. Everything goes to its original source. Light a candle. The flame will go up, even to upward, even then the flame will go up. But the source of light, sun, is upward. You throw a cloud of earth very high in the heavens, again that will return to earth, because the source is earth below. So our soul is just controlled by these things and identified and being under the control of mind, which is material. We are always being led to the earthly things. So they tell us, your this man body is not your permanent home, not this world. Your real home is above all heavens. It is that place which is the house of our Father. So naturally, those who come to that awakening, their angle of vision is changed. They consider themselves to be just stuck first in the earth, whereas the true home is above all heaven. So body is the first companion, as I have told you, which came along with us when entering the world, whether king or the subject, rich or the poor, learned or the unlearned, all have to leave the body. In the saints, in the incarnation, they took body and left the scene, and we have also to leave the world someday. So it is a wonderful house we live in. This works, as I submitted already, it works only so long as we are body, and we are in the body so long as some power is controlling us in the body. So this is the high time. Man body is the golden opportunity that we have got. Why? Because in this man body only we can know God, and in no other body. All scriptures speak very highly about it, and they tell us that desire the full body as long as you are in the body. Kabir says, keep the body as long as you can. Rishi told, well, keep it at least up to 100 years. Once this is passes out of our hand, we will go where we are attached. If you are attached to the world, naturally you come round and round to the earth. If, while man body, we know ourselves and have a contact with all consciousness within, naturally we'll go after death to the true home of the Father. So all scriptures tell us this is man body in which God is manifested, can be manifested. This is held by very good fortune. It is your turn to meet God. So man's the greatness lies in the fact that he know God. He can know God. If he has not known God, why brag so much, I am the head of all creation? So the highest thing that we have to find is to know God. So body is the true temple of God, in which you live in which the light of God is manifested. Outer temples were made out of the man body, bundle of man body. All masters who came, they said, the true mask is the man body. God does not reside in temples made by human hands, but he does live in body, in the house which he has built in the womb of the mother. That's the man body. So outer places of worship, whether they are temples of the Hindu, they are dome-shaped, whether they are mosques, forehead-like shaped, whether they are churches, long, nose-shaped, they are the two symbols of God are kept. And God wanted, I won, and wished to be many. There was vibration, and vibration results in two things, light and sound. So God is light, and God is nada. God is the music of the spheres. So these outer temples are made just to let the beginners know that such like guide and such like light and such like sound of God, voice of God is reverberating within your own man body. The body in which you live, that is the true temple of God. Outer temples were only made to let those understand, those are new, what is what. So the same light you have got in the churches, the same light is lit in the temples, the same light is lit in the mosques. So these are only models made, which is the better, best of all. So Master tells us that man body is the best of all in which the light of God is imparted. So I mean the ideal of all religions at our hand is what? A Sikh is he who sees the full effulgence of light within him. He is called a Khalsa. A Hindu is one who, instead of lighting outside, he lights the within, sees the light within. A Mohammedan one who sees the light of God. And a Christian is also one who sees the light of God. Ultimate goal is the same. That school is better in which many students come up successful. Which school is better? Which has got high, very grand buildings, very good playing ground, very good dresses of the students. No student passes that gets a higher degree. A watch is there made of gold, studded with rubies. And it does not give time then. So man body, that religion, that school of thought is the best in which that turns out so many successful students who see the light of God. But who can make us see that light of God? That's the question. Masters always say that light is within you. The body is the temple in which the light of God is effulgent. Why, man, you are going round and round outside. If you want to find him, tap inside. That is what Emerson says. So for that reason, it is the Master's, Christ said, I have come to make people see who do not see. Take heed that the light which is within you is not darkness. We are all children of light, enveloped by so many sheets. You know how to take off these sheets, you see the light is already there. So for that reason, that is there, why can't we see? Master says there is light within. The reason is, because in contact with mind and matter, soul is going round and round, because wherever it is attached, it will go there. And further, the law of karma, cause and effect, as you sow, so shall you reap, that goes on in operation. If you sow a good seed, you will reap good fruit. If you sow a bad seed, then the result will be bad. So now the only thing remains, and the mind position, the more you give him, the more it wants. The more you enjoy outside, the more mind, more enjoyment. So the Christians tell us what is that, by knowing which there's nothing more remains to be known. Mind is permanently satisfied. That can be had, that is within us. Master says that we have seen God everywhere. And we also see, I have seen God in this man body too. Why do we not see? They say mind stands in the way. So first thing, you see, we have to control the mind. And Master says, you have got a resolute will to meet God, put a step on your mind first, control it. The next step that you will take is to reach the house of your father. Now, how to control the mind? Masters have gone into it, they found that mind is attracted by outside enjoyments, which you go into, you'll find there are two things special in them. One is good scenery, good beauty, that attracts anybody. Further, outer music. Mind is driven away like that. So God has made that arrangement within us too. And that is more beautiful, more sweet music of the spheres going on. So Master, what do they give? They take this habit of the mind, they give him the more bliss, more joy, more music within us. And they give a demonstration of that by giving you a demonstration how to withdraw your attention from all outside and rid off your body, bring it to the level of the eyes where that single eye is open. If thy single eye be open, your whole body shall be full of light. So light and sound principle is the water of life, bread of life, nectar of life, nectar of nam, which mind once has a taste, all our outer tastes are forgotten. So for that you see there are two things God has kept in our body, you see, light and sound. The two powers there, one of seeing, you got light, all glory and beauty lies within you. Astral plane is more beautiful than the physical one. Causal still more, you rise above all these, you have got still more light, good thing. Similarly, sound principle is within you. So masters, what they do, they give you a demonstration of that within you. If you want a small child, you shut him up in a house, what will he do? He will cry, he will break the doors. If you get something more fascinating, more enchanting within, then he won't like to come out. Now mind does not withdraw from outside for the bliss he has got by outer enjoyment. When he once this water of life or bread of life is given by a master, the demonstration at a, given at a sitting, then he got more bliss, more beauty that side, then the mind does not want to come out as well. When you get that bliss, all other outer enjoyments don't attract you. You know, in the life of Lord Krishna, it is said he plunged into the river Jamuna. Underneath he found a hydra-headed cobra, hydra-headed. So while playing on flute, he controlled the cobra. This is a metaphorical speech. How this mind is the hydra-headed snake within you. There are hundreds of ways to keep you away from God and from the truth, from the masters. You can control it only when you come in contact with the light and the music of the spheres within you. So, what it is that brings us into the world again and again, these are the outward enjoyments. So when you get to have this, then naturally you won't come back. You will go where you are, get more bliss and more joy. So now the question is how to come out of this delusion. As I submitted before, our soul is in the control of mind, mind is the control of the outgoing faculties, and outgoing faculties are attracted like anything by outward enjoyments, we are identified with the body and all the faculties in the outer world so much so that we have forgotten ourselves. We cannot discriminate. So masters, what they do? They advise us to come to a master who will give you a demonstration of that. So all masters in the East and West express the same thing by giving out the same solution in their own ways. Christ came up. He gave out, except ye be reborn, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, who the Jewish had, great learned man, he came up to Christ and said, we are old men, how can we re-enter the womb of the mother and be reborn? And the Christ told them, well, look here, you are a learned man, you command respect from everybody. Don't you know that flesh is born of the flesh and spirit of the spirit? Then he says, you must be reborn. To reborn means one birth in this man body, the other into the beyond. So India also, this old rishis have the same thing. You must be twice born. One birth in this bad body and one into the beyond. So this custom was there in the old days. 5 years, 7 years, 9 years old children were made twice born and they were given Gayatri Mantra. Gayatri Mantra means rise above body, accept the rays of the sun coming to you, rise up into sun and become identified with the sun. O God, direct our attention to that. This is a prayer. So children 5 years, 7 years, 9 years old were made twice born, this mind, Gayatri Mantra was given to them. Along with that they gave him the demonstration to see the light of God within the sun. Now the same custom prevails amongst Hindus. But for want of practical people, they give the same mantra but no demonstration. Further, you see, all Master says, death is awaiting each one of us. There is no escape from death. Whether old or young, or learned or unlearned, there is a door of the death through which each one of us to pass. That narrow the way, straight is the gate, narrow the way, which leads to light within you. How to pass through it? This is a practical question, that is to be reborn, to be twice born. Then they say, learn to die so that you may begin to live. As I submitted you to you, behold, you would like to know God. Just a dying atheist said, yes, God is some power here now. At the time of death, when child cried out, God is now here. Or even if you rise above body consciousness, we see that power in controlling us in the body. So, what is the solution of that? To be twice born? To be reborn? To just learn to die so that we may begin to live? This death, Prophet Muhammad also says, Mautu Kevalam. Kevalantumautu, die before you are ready to die, when you die. Dadu says the same thing. All of the masters say the same thing. And they ask how the outgoing faculties are inverted. Once somebody questioned Guru Amar Das, how these outgoings are inverted. Can you better sit and see? This is the demonstration to be given now to be down from outside. When it is withdrawn, how do you fight? Find the body, you rise above body consciousness just as one man does at the time of death when he leaves the body. The soul reaches the back of the eyes when the eyes are upturned. And from there, leaps into the beyond. So this is while living, that silver cord on which their life is based is not broken. while alive. When that is broken, we are not to return. So that is why they question Prophet Muhammad, is it such a death which will lead us to the grave? Said, no. It is a death which will lead you from darkness to light. So, this is just a prison house. We are in the prisoners in the prison house of the body. All doors are locked. How to go up? So Maulana Rumi says, well, make a hole in the roof and go out. There are ways of expressing the same thing. Those who are initiated into the mysteries of the beyond, they have the same experience as one has at the time of death of leaving the body. So for that, naturally, one has to pray, O God, send us such like men who can take us out of the man box of the man body. Swamiji also said, no other man would be able to take you out of the box of the man body except the master. So death awaits each one of us, and there is no escape from here. Then what is how to conquer death is to learn to die so that we begin to live. Once you know how to rise above body consciousness, death becomes a joy. St. Paul said, I die daily. This is dying daily. Take cross daily. This is what is taking cross daily. So you'll find kingdom of God cannot be had by observation, it is within you. God realization then comes not possible without a Godhead. Why can't we do ourselves? And I committed, we are identified with the man body, outgoing faculties and the world, that we cannot differentiate ourselves. And we have recourse to the methods and practices which is related to the outgoing faculties, body and intellect. Those who are already identified with these, how can they rise above body consciousness by performing those very practices we relate to them? So it is a matter of someone who can drag you out of the box of the man body. So they pray for that. So God is within us. There are 10 doors in the body. 9 are apparent. 2 eyes, 2 nostrils, 2 ears, mouth, 2 underneath. And there is a 10th door, which opens into the beyond, which lies at the back of the eyes. So, this soul under orders, command of the mind, which is going out through the 9 doors. So 9 doors are the doors of senses. You see? So unless we withdraw from the 9 doors, come to the seat of the soul, which is the 10th door in the body, from where man can go into the beyond too. So we need somebody to help us. We cannot ourselves do, because I have just submitted. We are already identified with these things. So masters, what they do, the very first day, give a demonstration how to rise above body consciousness. And the man sees himself, I am risen, he sees inner eyes open, sees the light of God, he bears testimony to it. So that is why Master said, don't believe in the word of Master unless you see for your own self what he said, maybe little or more. So many have gone that way, but they have not found the way which leads to life. They close their eyes, no way out, because they are still in the body. They may visualize anything, premeditate anything that won't take you anything into the beyond. So we need a teacher at every stage of life. As a child, we need parents, brothers and sisters. In the schools, we need teachers. In all outward subjects, which relate to the outgoing faculty, mind or intellect, we need somebody's guidance to take that way. Now this is a subject where all world philosophies and their religion starts. Religion means re means back, digit to mind. Does nobody is needed there? You can rise above yourself when it's good. What more is wanted? If not, why not pray, O God? In this age, you see, there's a prayer, O God. There is a context of such a person who is in tune with you. At night while going before sleep, he says, O God, meet us the masters who may give us a contact with you. So man, masters are the link between man and God. So the 9 doors where we are, these lead to senses, and the 10th door into the beyond. For that reason, you see, those who have met the masters, they solve the mystery of life themselves. When they left the scene, the master left the world to keep their teachings alive. The school of thought, as the so-called social bodies, came into being. So that it know with a noble purpose it was, so that many people may derive benefit from the man body. So as long as they are practical people, people derive the benefit. For want of practical people, the same formation resulted in stagnation, and stagnation results in deterioration. And then the master again come up, well, you're going amiss. So man made religions for the best use of it. To make the best use of them. These men were not made for religions, but religions were made for man to make the best use of them. So God is all joy, all happiness, all wisdom. Our soul is of the same essence as that of God. We are also, you see, have wisdom. The wisdom lies in what? In man body only can we can know God. Have you done anything to do that? If we have not done things, you see, we must have taken from foresight, because after all we have to leave body someday. No exception to do. What have we done so far? Are we going on with the eyes closed? A pigeon sees, a cat comes, if he closes his eyes, will he come in his attack? Cat will eat him up. So this is most personal thing, most important, which concerns our very self, and about which we have what we have done. So I have just given you some self-evident facts, and we have to feel what is best to be done before us. Time and tide waits for no man. The early we do, the better. Death is no bugbear, it is a change from physical plane to the next higher plane. So if we are tied to God, naturally we'll go to God, in the lap of God. If we are not attached to Him, we are attached to the world, our coming and going will go on. So we have got the man body, we have the golden opportunity. How to make the best use of it is to know God, and to know God we must know ourselves first. Masters come, they don't come to change outer forms. Because man is a social being, he must have some social body to live in. They allow it, all right. First step is taken. More of that, you see, more than 700 social bodies in the world. They do touch this, but the purpose for which those social bodies came to be. And whatever models are made there to show the true temple of God, which is our body, put in two symbols of light and sound. That is for the beginners, but that we should just come round to the man body, which is the true temple of God in which we live. So this is what is before us, whether we Join one school of thought or the other, that makes no difference. Sumasu come, they address, oh man, our old soul. They don't say, oh Hindu, Mohammedan, Christian, hear me, no. They are the labels we have carrying on our body to show in which school of thought we have joined, no God. So this is the subject today. We have to go, we will have to give three talks this in continuation. Those who are interested in these subjects, which is the basic teaching of all masters, they should listen to it and see how far they have succeeded, how further they can do.
Good evening and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you listened to was the last 30 minutes of an evening talk given on November 12, 1972 in San Francisco, California. Our reader this evening is Pradeep Sethi. Hello, Pradeep.
Good evening. I would be continuing to read from The Light of Kirpal. Last I left midway through chapter 39, titled Rise Above Consciousness of This World. God is waiting for you now. That friend is lying waiting for you. So go back as soon as you can. Pay off all your debts here, your give and take. So astral planes are more beautiful than the physical. Causal are still more, and those further still more. When you have had a little taste of that, you would not like to stay here for a moment. Just look at the sacrifice of the masters. The tent crew said, I did not want to leave, but I was ordered to come. So they have come only to take you back. The God in them, not the Son of Man. No, no. All that remains is to live, act up to what they say. Even if you hold millions of dollars, will this go along with you? But the means by which you have earned that money will go with you. If you suck the blood of somebody, usurp the rights of somebody, you will have to pay off. So that is why I tell you, when you sit for meditation, pretend you are dying. That will help you, but the thought of death cannot come to you, I tell you, if you are so much imbued with the worldly color that the other color cannot come through. So solitude is necessary for developing that. In my early life, you see, if anybody wanted to find me after my office duties, he would either go to the cremation place or to the riverside. At the cremation place, I would see bodies coming and going and wonder, oh, what is this all about? You are very fortunate to have your breakfast served already. You're not to cook it up. And even then, we say we have no time to meditate. We have important works to do. And you say, all right, tomorrow we will see. You only lie to him. Procrastination is a thief of time. All right, I'll do it tomorrow, the day after. Let me finish this work, then I'll devote time. Suppose you die today, where will you stand? Well, the soul does not die, but that has to leave the body. If there's a criminal case against you and the warrants come without any surety, you may stick to your home. You don't want to leave, but they'll drag you anyway. But if you're already leaving the body, then when's the sting of death? All right, come on, I'll go. After all, everybody has to go. If perhaps you have made some arrangements to live here forever, then very kindly tell me too. Have you got any special arrangements for that? Then everybody has to go. You must learn how to go so that you may go in all peace, joy, and smiling. Our master is to say, if you would like to see how the master works, go to some initiate at the time of death. Ask him. He will tell you, my wife passed away on the 3rd April. On 31st March, she was having the master within her. She said, I am going on the 2nd. I told her, don't go on the 2nd. There will be thousands of people here for the Bhandara Savan Singh's death anniversary. This will cause a great disturbance. All right, then the day after, on the 3rd or 4th, I will go. On the 3rd, I asked her, are you ready now? She said, yes. All right, go. She smiled and left. So everybody has to go. We should at least go jolly. How far have you progressed while in the physical body? You will go directly to the place to where you have progressed while in the physical body. You can progress more here in the man body. If you have divested yourself of all the vestures of the different planes, you'll go directly home. What takes months to do here, there takes years to do. How important it is. Again, I might tell you, this is not given in books. You have to learn to leave the body. Is it not so? Is there any doubt about it? Perhaps you have arranged something here. I don't think you can. So that's the foremost thing that you must learn, to leave the body. When you leave the body, all environments are cut off. Question, Master, does that mean when you die, if you have once in your life reached a higher plane and you never reach there again, so do you go to that plane? Master, well, dear friends, you are wrestling, intellectually wrestling. Once somebody has taken pity on you, has taken you to some place to show you the highest plane, then you must learn to leave, go by yourself. A child wants to walk, but he cannot. So the father takes him in his lap and takes him there himself. Then next day he says, all right, walk now. Do you see? So the foremost work, truly speaking, our private work, is to leave the body. Then start on the way. All other works are secondary. Pay off debts and stop sowing new seeds. We will always put off. All right, this I can do later. Let me finish this work. Then let me finish that work first and do, and then do others. God first and world next. This we have not decided as yet. We have to leave the world. We have to pay off, give and take. Don't sow any further seeds. That's all. Finish off. So you have got so much food to digest in here, you see. A spiritual man is one who lives in the spirit. A spiritual man is one who lives in the spirit. Very simple definition. Next chapter, Nature of Thought, Right Understanding, January 15, 1971. Question, is doing nothing, letting God be the doer, a sign of humility? Master, look here. There are books in rivulets and sermons in stones. You can gather lessons from everything. If a man does nothing whatsoever, he recedes into his own self. God didn't do anything. He was one and wished to be many. He wished and there were many. If he had not wished there to be many, it would have been sufficient. There would still be the wordless state. So to be in a wordless state is very supreme. Some waves are lurking in our subconscious reservoir of mind. Let there be no waves. So long as these ripples go on, you cannot catch the sound or light. All ripples should be settled. There, where the sea is very deep, there are no outside ripples. It appears all calm and quiet in the sea that runs very deep. If the sea is not deep, there are rolls and waves and ripples going on. One who says, I am doing nothing, becomes a conscious co-worker of the divine plan. Then he says, he is the doer, I am a mere puppet in the hands of God. Everything has some lesson to give. So go deep down into what one says. I wish you do nothing, that's all. The more you become still, the very stillness, the very silence will sprout forth into light, into sound principle. Outer silence cannot give you that. You may have some power reserved from not talking, but that is nothing in comparison with the inner silence. By practice, when you absorb your whole attention into the light or sound, that absorption where no thought arises will give you something. That is why the Upanishads say, what is that by knowing which nothing more remains to be known? No clutching, no whys or wherefores. The whole attention is absorbed into the higher attention. Then even if you are working at the level of the outgoing faculties, still you are absorbed. That is to be developed in due course. Just mark what I am driving at. Every thought, every act, every statement has a big lecture behind it. You see? Is it not? Saints have recourse to the natural way. If you absorb your whole attention into sound, everything is there. By outward observation, you will be still for a while, but so long as the mind works, you cannot be continuously still for long. If mind does not succeed in a negative way, it will work in a positive way. It will say, so you are doing rather well. Good. You will get something out of it. You will act and pose. You may not be giving a direct talk, but in a roundabout way. You would like to impress on others that I am doing something. You see? Then the little ego is there. True humility arises only when you become a conscious co-worker of the divine plan. You know he is doing it, you see. When you see, how can you possibly say you are doing? All your words will be imbued with real humility. Question, Master, that's a point that puzzles me. If God is doing it all and we are doing nothing, then what about all the negative things that we do? Master, it is only when you are rowing with the stream that you have to make no effort. Is it not so? When you stand, when you work against the stream, then every effort has to be made. That is negative power. After all, it is the same power going into expression. What is it? Question, contrary to nature? Master, well, it is nature's law that has been created. Otherwise, how could all this world have come into being? Negative and positive are both made by God. Is it not so? Is there any other God? Then either accept two gods or one God encompassing both negative and positive. Then where is God? Independent? Turn your mind, your attention in the direction of God. That's all. What does darkness mean? Absence of light. What does negative mean? Absence of good. What? That's all. Very simple way. These things bring home the very purpose behind negative and positive power. After all, negative power is God as well as positive power. Both were created by God. He was in an absolute wordless state when he created the world. Then he added the two aspects. Just become a conscious co-worker along with the working of the divine plan, then no negative power can affect you. When you don't work with the flowing pen of God, you might say God into expression power, only then the negative power arises. So as long as you are conscious of that power working, no negative power arises. Even death is eliminated if you sacrifice yourself in accordance with God into expression. Sacrifice has no sting for him. It is a little deeper, of course, but we still have to come to that sooner or later. These things are not given in books. That's the pity. They cannot be given. How can they be? She has said something, all right. There's a lecture behind it, you see. So I wish you do nothing. Let all others observe it. Man really becomes a follower when he sees Master within and talks to him. That's all. Now you are all on probation. It is not a matter of outward show. Let the wildflower grow in darkness. People will look at those flowers when they are blooming, you see? So when the tree is laden with fruits, let any man come to eat. Even if people throw stones on it, even then it will give fruit. We are in the make. Question: the miracle of Master's power is so great that the feeling of not deserving it and yet being part of it, we are on the bus and can't get off, but that you can't believe that you are really on it. It's so great that it's overpowering. Master, seeing is believing. All other beliefs without seeing are groundless, having no base. Seeing is believing. When you see, only then you believe, and not otherwise. Hollow faiths, hollow beliefs lead you nowhere. They will break under stress. I remember this Pakistan affair when the two countries were divided. The very religious people were calling names out to God. Oh God, where are you? Who says you exist? Because they had not seen. When you see, then your whole angle of vision is changed. You see, even if you are being killed, you see him working. So seeing is believing. Question: but to show one's gratitude, how can one do it more and more? Master, not in one day. The time factor is necessity. Rome was not built in a day. No trees can grow in a moment or in a day. Seeds should be sown. The sprout should then be cared for and nourished by natural forces, air, water, and earth. Then it will grow into purpose, sprout forth into a sapling. Then, if you still go on giving it food, it will grow into a treasure, and that one seed will give you hundreds of trees. Question: I was always under the impression that everything was choice right, choice that God gives us our choice. Master, surely, right understanding. What is right understanding? Devotee, when it is difference between free will and God desires. Master, that you know only when you rise to the causal plane and not before. For now, the word of the Master is the law. He sees and says, if you want to know for your own self what all of this going on is about, why action and reaction then come up across the astral plane, and you'll come to know, not before. That is why it is said, O God, let us have the company of somebody who can drive away all our false notions, who can give us the right understanding. What is the right understanding? I think it will appeal to every common sense man. There is some power who made all this universe. Is it not so? Devotee, say it again, Master. Master, there is some power who has created all of this. He has made so many species of life, and man is the highest, you see. So God made man with equal privileges. Everybody lives in the womb for 9 months. Even the saints who come, when born, they have the same form outside. Who made that form in the womb of the mother? Is there any machinery in there? So God resides in temples which he has made. God does not reside in temples made of stone. Very common sense things. You come to know that your body is the temple of God with equal privileges for all. Your present life is based on reactions of the past. Pauperism, richness, sickness, this and that thing come as a reaction of what we have sown. As you sow, so shall you reap. Now, in the man body, you have got some freedom. In all lower species, all are bound. No freedom. When a railway line is laid down, the train will run on that line. If you have right understanding, you'll be laying it so that it leads back to your home. If not, you'll come back. At least you see now there is a principle. There's abundance in nature. Mind that. There's abundance in nature. If you sow one seed of pepper, that will give you a plant which will grow hundreds of peppers. If you sow one mango seed, then that will give you a tree which will bear hundreds of mangoes. One good thought will give you an abundance of good thoughts. All atmospheric right defects will come to you. One evil thought will bring you hundreds in train. Do you follow? Be guided by that. Only sow as much as you would like to bear. Think twice before you speak. Do you know what speaking follows? Right thoughts. Right thoughts follow right understanding. Right understanding comes from what? From those who have got the right understanding, who see nature working in its true perspective. And such like people were very few in the past and even now. But the world is not without them. All this literature came from where? From them. If you put into writing all these thoughts, I'm telling you, they will grow into books. But if you won't have this right impact from all the books you may be reading, this impact comes from the heart to heart. So the company of the saints cannot be underrated. You see, Maulana Rumi says, if you have some time with the master, heart to heart, that gives you more than hundreds of years of penances. More than that, then you speak to him and you will try to copy him. Now you have it. If you think of fire, it is warm. This and that. That is all good. But the physical presence you feel, fire by radiation. If you go to some perfume dealer, he may not give you anything, but by radiation you will smell good things. Should he give you one vial also, then that's all right. So company makes a man worse or good. That you can also enjoy only by developing receptivity from thousands of miles. If you develop receptivity, you can see, you can hear, just like on televisions or radios in Delhi. So between the master and the disciple, there should be receptivity. Master may be anywhere, the student may be anywhere, but they are linked within. You may put the same question to the master and the same question to the disciple. They will both utter the same words. But this is no miracle, I tell you. This is developed by regularity. So, before the television or radio came into being, who could believe it possible? Could anyone believe? Now you say, yes, these discoveries through science are according to the laws of nature. And there are still more hidden laws of nature about which you know little or nothing so far. question. So then, if according to the laws of nature we eat something like cookies that might contain eggs, it will have its influence, whether one knows it or not. Master, if you are in meditation regularly, even one, you will be affected by the littlest thing. When I was an accounts officer with some regiment in the firing line, I was given an orderly to help me, to cook for me, and look after me. I told him, look here, I cannot be responsible for your life, but one thing you must guard against. Let nobody enter the kitchen when you cook the food, and you will only go on with the repetition of the name of God, or read some scriptures, nothing more. He obeyed. For 2 or 3 days, it was all right. My system was at midnight. While people were sleeping, I was awake, meditating. One night, I found something in my mind, some ramification. I called him out in the morning. Look here, who was in the kitchen? Nobody. Why do you tell a lie? Then he agreed, yes, there was a man. We were talking. So if there is much filth within you, a little more filth won't affect you. But if you've got no filth, even a little grain, half, one-fourth of a grain, will affect you. Just see it. So money should be earned by hard dint of labor, honest earning. And the food earned that way should pass through the hands of those who are pious and righteous. Every thought of the man bringing food will have effect. The quality of the food should also be pacifying. Then the one who cooks it, his effect is also there. In the old days in India, they did not allow anybody to enter the kitchen before taking a bath. And when they were cooking, they were only doing remembrance of God. The result was that whoever ate the food was charged. So we don't care for what we consider trifling things. But they do affect us. Even your honest earnings are affected by the many stages through which it has to pass. And all things arise where, well, I'm talking from a common sense point of view, you see. If man has a good thought and food passes through him, that food will carry good effect. When you eat that, it will add to your good. If it passes through some lusty man, those same thoughts will come up. Also, evil thoughts, thinking evil of others, will have its effect. You now know how we should be cautious about our kitchens. And the kitchen here is further spoiled for or helped by evil thoughts. Even the mother's thought affects the child in the womb. Very delicate points. And all things follow. All virtues follow. You become the abode of all virtues if you are hearing the sound principle, the music of the spheres. That costs you nothing. Question, Master, then when we travel and eat in other kitchens, restaurants and things, if we do our Simran, is that enough? Master, well, look here. Haven't you strong will force infused your thoughts into it? Once we were in the hills with our master. There was nothing else to eat except meat and bread in that town. We asked Master, well, what shall we do? There is no shop that can sell the vegetarian food. Never mind, he said, buy the leaves of the bread from one place and buy milk or curd from somewhere else. It is we who have to guard it. Food that goes in defiles you, and what goes out of you also affects you. So if you will understand the principle of thought, right thoughts will come from right understanding. Right understanding is very clear. Where all equals as men, as souls. We are brothers and sisters in God. The same power is controlling us, called by any name. Man body is the temple. Have it become a conscious co-worker of that power. For those who have become the conscious co-workers, there's no high or low. There are no Hindus, Mohammedans, or Christians, you see. We are all companions. That's all. Long yarns or lectures won't help you. I tell you, you have to come to right understanding. No lecture will help you unless you lecture to your own self. We know so many things. So that is why it is said, wanted reformers, not of others, but themselves. If you reform your life, then... Well, that brings me to the end of my reading today. I started reading the midway through chapter 39, Rise Above Consciousness of the World, and then moved on to chapter 40, which I managed to complete. The title was Nature of Thought, Right Understanding. Thank you for your patient listening, and thank you, Master, for everything.
And thank you, Pradeep, for reading Master's gracious words to us. There were 53 participants at tonight's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and thank you, Divine Master, for bringing us together to receive your loving guidance and blessings.
The first principle of devotion and bhakti is what? To know that God is everywhere. We are living in Him, He is in us. If this right understanding comes in, you naturally will follow right thoughts. With right thoughts, you will be right speech. And with right speech, you will have right actions.